Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. We can't have our cake and eat it too, that old phrase. In other words, we can't live authentically and free and still expect people to love us, approve of us in every situation, or keep us safe. Of course, we don't want that anymore. So we don't really want our cake and to eat it too. But when we're in repression, we think somehow we can accomplish that. That we can be free, but then also be get love and trauma bond. It's a hard one for us to get because this is the driver of our suffering. We stay safe and get love by being false and getting our needs met that way. And that's what's driving us, the buried emotions. So what are we to do? With that being the center of gravity and the root of our suffering according to what we're seeing in science and our own bodies, how can we bypass this? And if we don't bypass the buried emotions and the unmet needs that are driving us, then we have to contend with it fully, which means the only way out is through. But that's not halfway through. It's not a quarter of the way through. It's not three-fourths. It's all the way through. The reason we don't really like that is because to go all the way through the embodiment process, we would have to actually give it all up. Truly. The unmet needs. As if other people could approve of us in a way that would ever work or make us whole. As if people could love us in a way that would fill up the hole of deficiency within us created by repression. That's not going to work because we're creating it. The lack, the deficiency, the separation for survival. So each of us has this work to do, whatever your work is. But the work here is to go all the way through, the only way out. And what I'm noticing about an embodiment path is that it's not for everyone to go all the way through because there are so many different landing points that just keep us safe. It's just safer to not be real, to be not be free in a given situation. And if we don't see that relationship is a big part of our awakening, we'll just find these relationships in which we trauma bond and then we're safe and we're getting love and approval. And we don't see how those relationships, even though they seem okay on the surface, maybe even good at times, they're not authentic. We're getting our needs met and we're landing. And we're going to keep doing that because this is so unconscious until we're embodied. Until we go back essentially into the body, we're not going back in time. We're going deep into the body to see that time is imprinted in our bodies, that we are afraid of feeling and expressing this emotion or that emotion. And that's a first core fear, we call it, or just for KI purposes. And then we're afraid to be rejected or hurt or humiliate or lose people if we do. And that's the real death. It's not the death later, down the road. It's the death now, die now, which we resist so much. We want to awaken to presence. That's safe because we don't have to die now. If we just have an initial awakening where we can see from the awareness, we might fool ourselves into thinking that's it. And then we just land and get our needs met from there. Even in a half-baked, realized state, people do that all the time. There are coaches and teachers and helpers and sponsors all over the world who have buried emotions and unmet needs. And sometimes in spirituality, and even sometimes in recovery, and even sometimes in therapy, this really isn't addressed directly. It might be discussed tangentially, but you do have to go to the unconscious to see this. And that's why even teaching and helping is on the chopping block, because we're all just getting our needs met and we're suffering. If some of us help people, it doesn't change anything. That's part of the suffering if we're not clear. I've seen something with regard to helping is that I don't have consent, really. I certainly don't have consent to reach into someone's experience and say, let me show you how to be free by avoiding buried emotions. I won't do it. You can do it, but I won't. Because what that is a trauma bond. Maybe 10 years ago, we wouldn't have called it that. Maybe 20 years ago or whenever we didn't understand trauma and repression, it would have been okay or we didn't know any better. But now that I've seen that going to the buried emotions gets to the unmet needs, then that takes care of the trauma bonding. And so why would I want to avoid the very thing that creates the trauma bond between a teacher and people? And it's not an answer to say there's no trauma bond because that's not embodied. There is. The body tells you, not your mind. The mind is the manager of safety. It's what it says about experience is mostly just to manage that. And so if you say, well, the reason I'm doing this work or working with this person is because they're leading me to freedom, but you don't know that until you get to repression. You could just be going towards safety and some freedom along the way that looks like freedom, but really is still safety, still bypass. But how would you know if the emotion is buried? You'd be the last to know when you're driven by your needs. When I first started doing repression inquiry, like a lot of people, I had the thought, well, I'm going to lose people. So, I mean, of course, my repression would say that. And then I would listen to that mind, let that be my teacher. That somehow if I'm healthy, if I'm doing well, what's more important is that they might leave. And that's exactly how repression is. And when we go to spirituality and we downplay the self and therefore completely ignore these needs and buried emotions and claim freedom, we're not equipped for relationship. I wasn't. What I mean by equipped is, are you suffering in your relationships? And what does it look like when we're not? Does it look like always being agreeable? No, that's anger repression. Are we always disagreeable? No, that's usually hurt and sadness repression. Are we always fighting? No, hurt and sadness repression. Are we always trying to make peace? No, anger repression. Like, who are we? That's the question that spirituality seeks to answer. It can only be answered in the living and embodying of what you are in relationship. And we can't do that when we're driven by buried emotions and unmet needs that we don't know we have. And if we're in a spirituality that blinds us to that, well, yeah, if you come, of course, that's what we want. We want to be blinded. The unconscious is serving us. Survival. So why wouldn't we go to a spiritual practice that makes us just feel better about the relationships that aren't working? Process this trigger. Feel at peace about that. But that's not the point of relationship. The point really is transformation and deep freedom and embodiment and love and authenticity. Or else we kind of just sell ourselves short in this lifetime. We just process our triggers with each other. There's so much more. Like genuine connection, I didn't even know that it was possible until processing my unmet needs. I just didn't know it was going to look like what it looks like. A lifetime of me completely ignoring that was a lifetime of suffering. So when I got to that and I started to express what was really true for me, of course, then it started to fall away and I realized, well, I don't need you to hear it. But if you don't, I might not want to be in a relationship with you if you continually don't hear it. And then if you expect me to hear you, well, that's why relationship doesn't work. We have to be aware of, to be really connected, we do have to be aware of our unmet needs when they're operating, because they're always operating. And so it's so easy and frankly convenient to never discover how they're driving us because we get so much out of it. I've learned that some of the relationships in my life, which were always safe, They were always peaceful. There wasn't anything real about them. We never met because that person had repression or shadows and self-protection, and I did, and they never met me. I never met them. So those relationships needed to end because they never started. It wasn't about losing people. That was just the fear of repression. Those relationships needed to end because they never started. When you see how big your heart is and how it holds everything, all your power and your love, you can't land on either. They're both there. And that's something that people in spirituality really need to experience, the embodied traits of presence. And it just doesn't look like how a lot of us anger repressors think it's going to look and feel like. The embodiment, I mean. Because we're just trying to play it too safe. We want to never get upset with someone or never really express what's true and then expect this like deep and embodied freedom or abundance. And how could it ever happen when we hold our life force back? Because the embodiment is energetic. 100%. So if we're holding the energy back, we can't have the embodiment. But the mind says, why am I not there yet? Why am I still suffering? And it plays dumb to stay safe. Well, the reason that whatever you're saying is there is because the needs. For your body, the need for love, approval, and safety is still more important than authenticity. It won't always be that way. If you go all the way through. Because that's what keeps you safe. Suffering does. It's just safer to have conversations with people and suffer, or to walk away from them, or to be in a relationship or to leave a relationship. Suffering is just kind of the status quo. When you start getting free, people might even shadow onto you that they think you're suffering because they don't even recognize authenticity. They didn't have parents modeling it, no teachers. So when it shows up, they might go, I don't even recognize that. Get away from me. Or, I like that, but I don't know what it is. I've had more people attracted to me. It's not an ego thing. I always believed I was ugly, so I didn't think I deserved that. But when something shifted in me, I realized I put those boundaries up unconsciously. Just get away. And as my life changes, it's like I want to connect. So I can understand energetically why that would happen. It's not anything other than something happened in me. And that feels good because I was always trying to keep people away from really depthful, intimate connections. And now I have that, and I'm really looking at how my past relationships just weren't that. Professional, friendship. Some really big was missing for me. And it really was the driver of suffering. That's big. I know why I was suffering. It's because I stayed in relationships, professional, personal, to get love. It's just a simple thing. There's nothing fancy. We don't need the spiritual concepts to tell us that what we're doing is waking up out of whatever. No, I just didn't want to feel stuff. It's much simpler than the mind, including the spiritual mind, would like to make it. It's fear. And it's in the body. Doesn't matter how many conceptualizations or spiritual teachings to talk about how we need to look at conceptualizations. It doesn't matter how much all that goes on. We're driven by fear and survival. And when we clear up the repression, the spiritual realization gets clear because the suffering was coming from the repression, the fear. The duality was. Now, if you've never done repression inquiry, you can't even buy into that. That's because you have a consciousness that won't let you see below the water like an iceberg. So we live our lives as unconscious humans in essentially what is the tip of the iceberg. Seeing all this stuff that we say about relationship or even spirituality, all this stuff that's at the tip has nothing to do with what's really driving us. Zero. Because what's really driving us under the water is this fear of these emotions and these other things. Very limited number of things, really. Simple. And the needs for safety and love that are externalized from that, or you could say they come into the tip of the iceberg as depression. I mean, mine was chronic pain. Do you know what it did for me? It hurt like hell, of course. There was a lot of bad things about it. But what it did for me is it kept me disconnected from people, codependent in my teaching, not real with the people in my life, and safe. I almost gave up on even living, let alone, you know, teaching. Our diseases, a lot of them, are the ways in which we're just storing energy for now. You may not want to hear that, but if you don't, you might just keep storing that energy. Even when the science is telling you that that's what you're doing. You might still look for a spiritual answer, but if the answer is spiritual, it is to own what you are. It is to include everything. And you can't do that. When some of the things that you need to include, in fact, the driver of suffering, is buried. There are a trillion ways to bypass repression. I only know one to get to it. If you know another one, go for that. But trust your body and your experience, because suffering and life is really the teacher. It's the ultimate modality. It makes us create these ways of looking at our experience. If we don't trust life and suffering, we'll just keep making choices that actually are not getting to the root. But that serves the need for safety. And you might say, from what exactly? From the unconscious, the fear driving you that you can't feel. It's frozen. It's your sense of separation. That's why this is a non-duality path. It's not therapy. It's not counseling. It's not 12-step or recovery, really. This is why Toshi and I wrote the book. It's to let people know that this really is, now that many of us have done it, a path of embodiment. And this is what we always were looking for. Maybe not this particular realization. There may be other paths to that, of course. But we were looking for ourselves. And as long as you're driven by the need for love and safety, you can't even discover who other people are, let alone yourself. Because that's a projection outward that you don't know you have. You get into a relationship and the operating system, no matter what you're saying, at the surface is like this. Stay safe. Stay safe. Don't do that. Nope. Hold that back. Don't say that. Don't feel that. Nope. That's it. And then that drives everything. Everything that is safe enough to feel gets through. Everything that might get us love gets through. But the things that we think will not get us those needs met don't come through. And then whatever we identify, which is hidden and false, whatever we hold back, which is true for us, it forces us to identify with what comes at the surface. And therefore, we think we're depressed or anxious or whatever we think, identified, however we characterize it, but really we're afraid. That's it. There's no more teaching, really. When you realize that, there's just the work. But I'll keep talking, because at least hopefully these podcasts will inspire some people to kind of just put things down now. So I'm just going to stop doing that meditation. I'm going to stop just being aware of things that my system is creating, even if I don't know how I'm creating it. If Scott is right, I should go investigate. Maybe I wouldn't have to be mindful of all the things that are rising if they stopped arising. But, you know, even though Toshi and I have written this book, we do know that resting as awareness and mindfulness gives a temporary reprieve. And for the nervous system, a temporary reprieve is all that's needed because it's just about survival. And survival is an in-the-moment thing. So if I can rest here and let something that's just on the surface enough to just be here, false impressions from that, as if I've really seen through something. But I didn't get to the root of it. So what's happening is the system is safe. And since that's all unconscious, the mind comes up and says, well, I'll do that again. And not knowing that the very failure to process the buried emotions makes the system kick in from the buried emotions and create more suffering. So you'll be people-pleasing tomorrow. You'll be doing that same coping strategy tomorrow, or this trigger will come back because you're ignoring what's buried. This pain has to be there because you're ignoring what's buried. That bypass, that procrastination. See, at some point in the history of humans, it's going to become simpler. And I don't mean presence. That does not actually simplify things. It reinforces a duality, the iceberg consciousness. We can only be aware of what's safe enough for our system to produce. But at some point, humans will go into the unconscious and say, no, I needed to simplify, but I needed to get to the thing that was creating all that. Not to the space in which it's all happening, and not seeing how it's all happening by remaining unconscious to the buried emotions, but rather making conscious the buried emotions and seeing how one creates suffering to get needs met. So if this resonates, where do you go? I mean, the link that I'm going to put, frankly, in the description would be the book, because I think it's a great way in to understand that this is an awakening path, but it corrects the bypass and starts with that book for a lot of people. And then I'm going to be giving away free repression inquiry very soon. So that's big, because some people have a barrier, which is like financial. They can't pay for this or that. Well, that's something that I've looked at a lot, because there are some things I want to say about this. I still want to make a living and charge for what I think are valuable services, what I give personally. It's not ego. It's just people have said that. I've seen changes in people. My codependency and buried anger confused everything, I needed to work through some things to see that I don't want to give everything that I have just for free, because it's not required, and it comes from codependency, often buried anger. It's trying to get love and approval. People who are spiritual often can't pay their bills. I had a period of time where I couldn't because of this. But because I have good boundaries on what I want to charge for, I'm going to give away what's called the safety net, which is the introductory and very powerful, actually, new version of KI that we created in the last 6 months. The public doesn't know about it. You guys haven't heard about it unless you do the work, but we're just going to give it to you. And if that's all you ever get from us, you don't ever have to pay anything. But what we think is when you start doing it, you'll finally see why I talk like this. You'll see what this work is about. And that's what changes people. It's not really, sometimes it's something that I say, but mostly it's when people pick up the tools. So we're just eliminating that initial financial barrier. It's free. 25-minute course explains the safety tool, the safety net tool. And all you have to do is continue following me on social media, because I don't have anything for you right now. It's coming soon. And buy the book. That's one thing I ask you to purchase, because there's really good information in there that could just vector you into a different direction once you understand the topic even more, including the science. Then come and get your free safety tool. It'll be our safety net tool. The reason we call it safety net is because it's safe when you do it, and it's also effective. And you want a method to be safe when you're working with unprocessed motion. And you want it to be safe even when you're on your own. And we say that if it's not, you stop. But the safety net has a lot of built-in things in it to make the work accessible and safe and effective. Okay, so just stay tuned, follow me on social media, wait for a couple of weeks, and you'll see it. Thank you.